The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Omani at seven. Was he a seven as a kid? Was he a seven coming up at any point?
He's played there, but I don't think he's an out-and-out seven. You know, I played seven a good few times for Munster over the years when David Wallace was injured or out. So it can be done pretty easily. I think you're more natural sevens. Obviously, they're more familiar to that role, and they're probably quicker and around the field more and a little bit more agile, if you like. And so Manny has played there, and you know, he's played a couple of times for Munster over the years, but he's not a natural seven.
Was it the Lions really who put this in everybody's head? Is kind of what I'm asking, really.
Yeah, of course. I think with Warburton and himself both playing and trying to put two of them in the team, and Australia did it for years with Pocock, and they moved him around. He was more of a natural seven. I think you see sevens moving across more often. Sometimes, you know, if a team plays well and a six is moved over to seven, it's a great move. If it doesn't work out and you don't have the natural flow in your game, people start to question that. So it's something he's done pretty well. I think he offers a lot of breakdown ability, and then the extra line-out ability as well can be a plus. But it's kind of horses for courses. Will Connor's kind of jumped ahead of the queue for that England game in November as a number seven, and he'd been playing so well for Leinster. Van der Fleer is an ever-present for the last couple of seasons, has an unbelievable engine on him. So I just think O'Mahony brings probably a little bit more physicality and aggression there and presence and leadership and stuff like that. And that's why he's facilitated there at the moment.
He's kind of undroppable the way the form that he's in at the moment. Just there's been an explosion in his form in really since the return after lockdown. And so you have to have him in your team. Let's go six, seven, eight. So let's start with six. CJ Stander is the man at the moment. And it seems as if it wouldn't be CJ Stander, it'd be Caelan Doris. So six and eight kind of seem quite interchangeable at the moment. In terms of the depth chart, who is behind those guys?
Yeah, they're all interchangeable. I think there's out of probably 15 names that I could give, I've only given 12 for those three positions across the back row, because obviously if Stander doesn't play at six and was injured, there's every chance that O'Mahony will move over six and Van der Fleers, Connors or Levy will go seven. So there's a bit of chopping and changing. The same applies to number eight. If Doris doesn't play, they'll move Stander at number eight. So it's not a case of they're all pigeonholed into one position, and that's what can happen in the back row. So behind Stander, I would say the next six would be O'Mahony. For me, Reece Ruddock has been brilliant for Leinster and ever dependable. He's a fantastic player and probably doesn't get the credit, doesn't have the flamboyance that or the line-breaking ability that some of them have, but unbelievable work rate, relentless in everything he does. And I think he would be my next six. Then I'd have Max Deegan in that line as well, which he's kind of gone off the radar a little bit.
His knee injury really, I suppose, is taking him out of...
Yeah, it hasn't helped him. Yeah, it has taken him out of the scene. And, you know, sometimes when you're out injured or you're... And there's plenty of other back rows available, which Leinster have had, you kind of forget some of these guys. Jack Conran's the same. So I would say Max Deegan easily could play at number six for Ireland and has that ability to do a brilliant job. And then kind of an up-and-coming one is Gavin Coombs this year. He's played really well with Munster. He's 110 kilos, 6 foot four or five, big physical presence. And if he can add more to his game, he could, you know, come into the reckoning. So any of these guys could jump up the line if they had a big game. Depends who's selected between Munster and Leinster next week. You can change the prerogative. Or if Ireland lose a game or two and you know, there's changes made to the back row. So they're my five, four plus one, if you like, for blindside at the moment.
Reece Ruddock must feel like it's now or never if he's going to get back in the squad. Because if he doesn't get picked after the form that he's shown over the last period of time, then, like, he's banging his head against a brick wall.
Yeah, he is, I think. But it's strange. You put a list of players there and one good game can change the rankings there and move you right up the list, you know. So Ruddock has played really well, but unfortunately he's kind of pigeonholed in this group below the probably the four guys that have been involved in match day. If he plays next week against Munster and plays really well and the back row struggle against Wales, he's someone who could propel himself forward then and get a start. So yeah, it is. He's got to keep plugging away, and it can change very, very quickly, Jerry, you know, with injuries and form and all that kind of stuff. But you would kind of say that if he keeps the form going and doesn't get selected, well, you know, it could be an opportunity or a chance missed from him.
Alan, if we take it that James Ryan is nailed on in the second row and then it's one of Tadhg Byrne or Ian Henderson, could you possibly play the one who doesn't start in the second row at six? Henderson.
Yeah, you could. If you play England or South Africa, or you're looking to have more physicality in your team, you could do that. Lots of those second rows can play in the back row. Tadhg Byrne or Ian Henderson, even someone like Ryan Baird, if you wanted to get his athleticism into the team, you could look at putting him in the back row. I think his footwork and pace is exceptional as well. So that's something that could happen. Tadhg Byrne has played a couple of times there, and he's familiar with the back row. He's probably very comfortable to play in the back row as well. So yeah, of course that could happen. And it's down to horses for courses and physicality and all that kind of stuff if you want to add that. But I think Quinn Roo has played really well in the second row as well. So he may still be very, very close to getting the team. And Henderson's knee is caused him problems. But it'd be great for a coach. If I was coaching a team and you had options like putting a Byrne or a Ryan Baird in the back row, or even moving Henderson back there, bringing him off the bench even would be a great option to have.
How much is it down to how confident you feel in your own position? If Andy Farrell thinks he's going to get to see the whole time out between now and the World Cup, does he think, well, I'm going to give Ryan Baird five games now and accelerate that process of getting him into the team because I know that he is somebody I want on my team in the World Cup? Whereas actually, I suppose, everybody in Irish rugby feels the urge to win now and, mortgage the future.
Well, they're at more of a juncture now, Ger, of those kind of conversations and debates happening and that kind of pressure coming from fans and media. If Ireland were to have a disappointing Six Nations, those questions will keep coming up. Can you keep picking the same familiar faces? I think that pressure is ramping up on Andy Farrell. So he doesn't necessarily have to play him now. I think Ryan Baird is not going to lose any sort of momentum or flow by not getting selected now. He needs to play regularly with Leinster and be a dominant figure at provincial level and European level with Leinster and be a starter for Leinster to really ramp up that pressure. He has that potential and that ability to take it to the next level. But I don't, you know, there is a pressure in the Six Nations, particularly they're like cup games. You've got to win them and, you know, summer tours and stuff like that. You can maneuver around a little bit in November internationals, but he doesn't necessarily have to pick him now. But particularly, you know, the point I'm trying to make is there's added pressure in every performance and more scrutiny now going forward because of the run Ireland have had in the last 2 years that, you know, maybe before if you had a bad game that you'd get away with it and that you'd get back on track and Ireland would get back on track themselves. But because of the results, and I think that pressure is added, so... And then you look at the depth of a lot of those loose forwards, second rows and back rows that in an ideal world, you want to kind of settle on young players that you know are going to be at the World Cup. But there is a need to win matches as well. So
it's double-edged, right? It is
double-edged.
Well, you don't want to introduce Ryan Baird to a losing culture. You want him to come into a winning culture and have to fight for stuff so that... You know, and I'm just using him as an example, but it's the same for any young player. You can't just waltz into the team, even though the fans really want to see you because that's really exciting. If you're not going to be in a team that's going to be winning type matches, then you become part of a losing culture and that becomes self-fulfilling.
Yeah, and it's look, as I said, the pressure, there's pressure on Andy Farrell on every game and more scrutiny. So if Ryan Baird plays more games and really stands out and is banging at the door for selection, I think he'll have to get it at this stage. So Caelan Doris came into the team last year when they were in a kind of tough period, a tough moment, and he's now seen as a very important player for Ireland. So you don't want to make multiple changes for the sake of it. These guys will train and be exposed to that environment throughout the Six Nations. And if they're good enough, hopefully they'll get selected.
We should look at number seven, the graphic for that one as well. And so obviously we've said Peter O'Mahony is the man in possession here. Who's after Peter O'Mahony in the seven, Zach Chart?
Yeah, it's hard to put him in order here, to be honest, as regards to 2, 3 and 4. And I'd like to make that point that it's very difficult in all four positions to put him in order. I think maybe the number eight position is the one that the top two are kind of a good bit ahead of the others. But Peter O'Mahony at seven, he probably has the jersey and will get the jersey now going forward for a while. But then you have Van der Flier, Connors and Levy. How can you separate any three of those, you know? I think Levy's still working his way back. And it does take a long, long time when you're out that for that period of time to really get that fitness level up and that intensity and that hardness in the body again. So I suppose Van der Flier's and Connors are neck and neck in number two. And then Dan Levy is next in line. And Scott Penny is the one that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about in the last 18 months, 2 years, and his ability as well. So he's probably the up-and-coming one who, again, if he gets more opportunities. And when you start putting these names down, Jerry, you think, how are all these guys going to stay at Leinster if they want to play for Ireland? You know, and look, I know it's another conundrum that Leo Cullen will find himself in. And I'm sure there's more guys coming up behind him as well. But they're the four there, plus Scott Penny.
And at number eight, we've got Caelan Doris at the top.
Yeah, Doris at the top because I think he's made that jersey his own now. So talented, has a bit of everything in his game, and it's top quality throughout. I think he's probably going to get a bit physically more imposing, which is something maybe he needs to do. He's still very young. I'm sure he'll be a far more confident player putting on the Ireland jersey this season again. But if he got injured, I think they wouldn't leave Stander at six and bring in Jack Conner and Max Deegan at eight. I don't think so. I think they'd move Stander back to eight and look to put someone at six. So it's Doris, Stander next, Jack Conner, who, you know, I'm a fan of. I think he's a brilliant player. He's been very unlucky with injury as well. And he hasn't kicked on consistently to that next level. I think he has the ability to do that. And then Max Deegan, again, a very exciting young player as well, who got capped last year. And the up-and-coming one is Paul Boyle, I picked from Connacht. I think he's done really, really well and become a real leader in that Connacht team. And you could add Owen Masterson in there as well, who's you know, a very, very talented player, a little bit older. But they're the five for number eight as well.
So Gavin Coombs, Scott Penny and Paul Boyle are your next gens. Tell us about Coombs.
Well, he's done really well for Munster, hasn't he? And it's, I think, Johan van Grand backing him to play in European games, you know, standing out in Pro 14 games and is one thing, but getting the backing of your coach to start in Europe, that's a real statement. And it's a statement of confidence for the player as well, that they're now in the mix with the big boys and playing these European games, and it's not down to injuries or the coach's hand hasn't been forced. What I love about him is the ability to get tries. Some of them are very close to the line, but he just seems to turn up in the right areas. He's powerful, he's quick, he's agile, and he's grown in confidence. He's a big, imposing physical specimen. I'd love to see him be a bit more aggressive and physical, but that'll probably come. You know, even watching the Clermont game in France, he made a bad mistake early on. He got handed off by Yato, and they scored a first try. A lot of guys would have dropped their head there. I think of myself in that position, you could have dropped his head easily, and he didn't. He bounced back and was prominent throughout that game, and he's a brilliant player. He's someone who, You know, if he stands out next weekend, he could jump up the ladder a little bit and be in a position to step into the back row like Gavin or like Caelan Doris. And then, you know, if you two guys like that in the Irish back row building towards the next World Cup, well, then you've a change in the guard, haven't you?
And, yeah. And
he's certainly one who can jump in there.
If you're a head coach, like, who, you know, likelihood is going to have the same 9 and 10 that we've had for the best part of the last decade, are you looking at various parts of your team saying, look, we're building slowly, the building blocks are in place, like, you know, just to try and change that mood music around him and the coaching ticket a bit?
Yeah, for sure. And Craig Casey is someone who I know we're not doing the halfbacks, but he's someone who's trained with Ireland in November, and he certainly could be in the mix come the next World Cup as well, and probably should be if he continues to improve. Hopefully Carberry will come back. There's a bit more depth in the fly half position as well, so some of those players may come true as well. But if the opportunity is there to pick a younger player, if they're good enough and they bring enthusiasm and energy and you can move away a little bit. I always hate the idea of discarding guys for the sake of it, older players, because of their age profile. If they're playing well enough, of course they should, you know, you've got to give them the opportunity and the chance to deliver as well. But if you've young guys who can bring something different, more athleticism, more enthusiasm, more footballing ability, something that we're kind of crying out for in Ireland, well then Andy Farrell is going to have to try and seriously look at that and give him the opportunity. It's very rare in Ireland, Gerard, you have 19, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds who are ready to go straight into the national side. We see it in other countries and we criticise sometimes about that, but it's about the physical and mental development and where these guys are at. I think the acceleration, the improvement that Gavin Coombs has shown, if he can take that on and build on that for Munster, there's no reason why he can't be pushing for a starting berth at Ireland as well.
Go on, Nathan.
No, you go on, Gerald. I'll finish up with just one on the overall makeup of the back row.
Well, okay, I had one last question then about how easy it might be for players to enter this team than it would have been versus the Schmidt team, given the stories that we heard about how everything was so programmed under Schmidt that actually, with Andy Farrell's management style, asking a bit more of the players as individuals. And look, obviously that's shorthand. Maybe it's a bit easier to get into and play well as a kid in this team than it might have been under Joe Schmidt's.
Yeah, well, it's about consistency of performance. If the team starts winning matches, you know, if you win 3 or 4 games and you have one bad outing, I think it's always a given to there's a temptation to go again and give the guys who played poorly an opportunity, particularly if they delivered before. You know, I was involved in Irish squads over the years where it was harder to get off the team than get into the team. But a lot of that was down to 3 or 4 very good performances, one off day, and then the 3 or 4 good performances came again. They got the opportunity, and that happens. But I, as I said, I made the point earlier, I think definitely with this group now, there's probably more scrutiny and less forgiveness regarding, you know, bad performances or one humiliating defeat. Of course, if you lose a game in a narrow game and you play particularly well, you'll get the opportunity. But I think there is that situation now where they've got to add their own voice to a new regime. And I think Andy Farrell is looking to do that. And the one area that we've all kind of questioned is the attack. Physically, we can't make the players into monsters. So we have to find a way, particularly when we play England, South Africa,
maybe France.
You know, we did a lot of good things in Paris in the last Six Nations game at the end of October, and maybe a bit of physicality didn't help, but there was mistakes and errors in that second half. So we've seen encouraging signs, I think, in November. I thought they finished really well against Scotland and could have won by a lot more. A lot of the players are playing well in Europe, so the signs are pretty good, I think, but the pressure, it all changes very, very quickly if they don't start well against Wales. It's a real backs to the wall game against Wales and that Six Nations, isn't it? So they've got to start well.
Yeah, you probably touched on what I was going to ask there, Alan, which is when you mentioned adding in, a burn for physicality for the likes of England or South Africa, that for all the quality that's there and the options in the back row, that it's sort of undermined at times by the performances against England, and that whatever happens against Wales, Scotland, Italy, that if they get beaten up the way they've been beaten by England recently, that it sort of undermines all the good work that they're doing in the other games.
Yeah, but England can do that to most teams now, Nathan. So we've got to accept that, find a different way of playing. You know, there was the biggest issue we had in the England November game was our lineout. I think physically we really got stuck into them, and they didn't steamroll us like they had done in previous three games. So it's something that they just got to be mindful of dealing with that physicality. And if you have options, as I said, if you have options to pick bigger players and put second rows and back row into the back row to make it, not alone does it give you a little bit more physicality, but it gives you an extra line-out option as well, and you can go after the set piece. So that's where they were let down in November, that line-out over in England. So hopefully Andy Farrell has all these guys fit and ready to go, and that they can create a real competitive environment in training as well and challenge each other and know that one bad game and you're gone.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing that radicalises everything else. Alan, good stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Alan Quinlan giving us his thoughts there this morning. It's 9:28. Ron O'Gara is going to join us Thursday morning at 8:15 to bring us his halfback depth chart. Looks fairly straightforward at the moment, but he's obviously been in conversations with some of the up-and-comers at Munster as well. So we'll talk about that with him in more detail on Thursday as well. OTBM, live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Ronan Savage says on Instagram, Connors at 6, Levy at 7, Doris at 8. I suspect he might be a Leinster fan. Doris Connor Stander, Peter O'Mahony. So a lot of calls for Doris at 6, but I think Doris at 8 is the future that they have decided and anointed at this point. So Doris 8, Stander 7, Peter O'Mahony at 7. So 2 sevens, says Nathan. Good luck to see Levy get game time. And then there's no real Levy on the bench. Peter O'Mahony.
Levy's the one, isn't he? It's probably a straightforward decision with Peter O'Mahony at 7 because Levy's not quite there yet. But you're getting a bit of both, where O'Mahony's doing the job for you now in really strong form. But you know, actually heading towards a World Cup, that if Levy can get back, like, he's the one there who has that X factor.
Yeah, I don't think you're rushing anything to do with Dan Levy's recovery at the moment. It's like, are you ready for this? Yeah, are you ready for this? You keep going and you layer it on in the hope that you're getting back to the point where he was one of the outstanding players in his position in the world. At the same time, a bunch of these young players coming through, we don't know what their ceiling is going to be. And they've all come through the same system that Dan Levy came through. So, you know, that's the question about Ryan Baird. Do you put him in the team now and give him 2 years playing at 6 before he becomes the second row partner to James Ryan? And at that stage, he's unbelievably experienced, so there's no betting in period. And you've learned what it's like to have 3 second rows on the field.
Or you're putting him in now into a side that isn't firing on all cylinders, and you end up taking a couple of beatings in a Six Nations, and your confidence is ruined, and everybody's questioning you and all that progress at Leinster. You're thinking, is he ready for that step up?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and I suppose that's why they pay these head coaches who pick teams the big...
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.